We are Brightside.
Theater nerds, welcome to Brightside, a home theater podcast. A home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
There's the audio. There it is.
Can anyone in the chat just tell me, please, please tell me it sounds okay?
All right, Steve, let's say, you say the scenes. Go ahead, say it again.
The scenes.
The scenes.
There we go. Ooh, that's okay, the recorded audio. That's the previous microphone. That might have come, depending on the mix, it might. And Dom's saying already, you sound great. Oh. I think he's talking to me, though. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
How's Steve sound? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
Van Gogh, you sound way better.
Yay. Thanks, Paul. Yeah,
Paul, sparkling goodness. I like it. Sparkling goodness.
Now, credit where it's due, Paul. I think you were right 2 weeks ago when you said what you think the problem was, because I had to play around with the audio this afternoon, having set up the new mic, which is this one. And I think you were right about the settings, because I've gone in and I've messed around with it, and now I've got 24-bit audio, whatever it is, and that's what I think it was. So I actually don't think it was the mic, but I like the new one, so I'm going to keep it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So, that works. That works. Yeah. That's fun. It's always fun to get an upgrade too. Get a little change of pace, give you something fun to do, you know?
And I went in, I did tweaks. I didn't just call in as an installer.
Yeah, you did it all by yourself.
I mean, that's growth. Growth for 2025.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, and I've had conversations this week with friends and family talking about your microphone settings and don't worry about it. Why are the listeners complaining? It's okay. It's this and that. And it's like, I'm like, no, we love it. Like I said, in today's Takeover Tuesday, I go, it's one of those things I learned a long time ago in a marketing class. And it's like, nobody complains when things go as planned. Right. Mm. Nobody complains when things work well, when our mics are going well, when everything's going well. Nobody just goes, way to go, guys. Still doing good. You sound great on anything, on anything. If you get a great meal at a restaurant, that's what you're supposed to get. You don't say nothing. Everybody complains when things go wrong. And when we get a complaint like that, that just shows how good the audio was before and that people appreciate. I mean, is there a better audience to appreciate the audio? I mean, than ours? You know, come on.
Probably not.
Exactly. And they're all yelling at us because they know how to fix it too.
Yeah. And to answer Paul's question, yes. So this is the new one, Paul. Yeah. Come on. Tell me you can sound, you hear the difference. Make me feel better about the extra money that I spent.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Go to Patreon to help us pay for this.
Yeah. Great idea. This is the new one. Hence the little light thing. It's all a bit more YouTube, this one, because you can put it up above it and dangle it down and all kinds of stuff, which my other one couldn't do.
You're going to put it up above it and dangle it down, Steve?
Well, look, this is what I call my average Friday night.
Hey, John. Hey, John, how you doing, buddy?
it's like yours, that you've got all the kind of the different kind of controls and everything. The other one had a weird kind of angle to it, whereas this one I can play around with forever. So that's good to see.
Could be here all night if you keep talking like that.
There you go. Double entendre disease.
Yeah, exactly. Oh boy.
But yeah, so I've been dreading that this thing would work. And as I said, even if I hadn't messed around with it this afternoon, it probably wouldn't have done. But now it's here. It's cool. And I do prefer it. Happy.
Happy. Here we go. All right.
Ooh, we got a little upgrade to the show. While we're talking happy, Deej, let me apologize to you, formerly on air, making you rush the Lord of the Rings and the Ride of the Rohirrim review at the end of last week's show.
No.
It had gone midnight. There's fireworks going crazy. And I felt so bad afterwards.
Yeah.
Not bad enough to not go.
You don't have to say, you said all this off air and I told you were ridiculous because it was, come on. You shouldn't even have been here for the hours leading up to midnight and you're apologizing for getting off at midnight. Come on. It's like, you know, Yeah, 10 past. And I felt awful for keeping you. I should have been more aware. I should have been like, yeah, we'll just screw it. We'll get to that next week. Having a great New Year's, everybody, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm like, let's keep on going. Steve's like, the rare opportunity that Steve's like, I don't want to talk anymore. Audio gold right there.
Yeah. It's got to be a first time for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
All righty. Should we say hi to everyone in the chat? Because there's lots of hellos going on.
Yeah. Let's get to it.
So first in was TSG quite a bit earlier, saying that he's just going to sit down to watch Midsommar. Midsommar just after Midwinter. Fair enough.
Oh, there you go.
Great film though, TSG. Great film. Really good. Mike Schramm's in. Hiya, Mikey. Mikey. Talking about having saved some money on Amazon. So three for $33 at Amazon on 4K discs. And I think it's some of the new ones as well. Things like Wild Robot and stuff like that. Pretty sure I've seen that on Twitter. So pretty good. So Steve Atts in. Hi, Steve. Marcus Beebs in. Van Gool's in. Hi, guys. Cool. Rach is in. Hi, Rach. We've got, Paul Hertz in, as we've already established and indeed thanked. Dom's in. Bonsoir, Dom. Yeah, he's in. Jack Lee's in. Hey, Jack. I saw a couple of others as well. Oh, Beth's in. Hey, Beth. Happy New Year.
Oh, Beth's back.
Hey, Beth. Yeah, good to see. We didn't put her off last time. And then Jan Hextra's in saying happy and healthy New Year, everyone. So, yes, indeed. And to you, Jan. I think I'm saying it right.
Jan. He said Marcus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Marcus, yeah. Rachel, Beth. You got two females in here now. We're in trouble.
Going on. Yeah. That's it. Don't tell the missus.
Hey, one for each of us, Steve.
Hey, I'm saying nothing. I'm being good.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and Jordan's in as well. Sorry. Hey, Jordan.
Yeah.
Right. He's in too.
Nice segue. Get off that topic.
Smooth. Been done. No one noticed.
Yeah. Back to that dangling thing we're talking about. Yeah. All right. So.
Yes. How was your New Year's, Deej, anyway? Because, of course, you still had your New Year's to come after I hurried off last week.
Good. We did, went to the neighbor's house across the street, you know, quiet, wrapped it up around midnight, you know, a nice, easy New Year's. New Year's never been huge to me. It's not like, you know, Christmas is the bigger one to me. New Year's has been like, I've had good New Year's, but then I have all the New Year's where I'm just like in bed at 10. Like, okay, just another day. And it's like, all right. And like, you know, it is what it is. So glad to be in 2025. See if maybe I can make 2024. Yeah. Make 2025 better.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you will. Oh, good. Okay. Well, I'm glad it was as you wanted it to be. And tell me, what's the weather like there now then? Because all we're hearing over here is the whole of the US is kind of covered in snow.
We have no snow. We're just cold here. We're lucky. Okay. We're doing excavation on the house. We've got trenches dug for electric. My septic went in today. The tank went in today. They're doing the leaching field. Lots of digging going on. So we got dry weather here, but it's freezing cold here. Like I haven't even been able to work. It was like 20 degrees. Tomorrow's going to be in the low teens. And then we're going to warm back up to like 30. And this is all Fahrenheit. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to work out. Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, exactly. From my iPad. So 32 is freezing. So, you know, you got zero. Whoa. So we're looking at like, yeah, you'd be
-5, -6, -7. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Wowzers. Yeah, that's cool.
It's cold. But we're going to be nice and warm on like Friday, Saturday, back up to the freezing temperature.
Just balmy like, zero.
Yeah, in your zero. You'd be like, whew. All right, I could just wear a sweatshirt. It's only zero out now.
But I've heard that, you know, I mean, I was looking at like Missouri yesterday on the webcams and stuff. And there's like, when you go, like, just because I'd read something on the BBC about this, you know, this storm. And if you go onto the web, you type in Missouri webcams and you've got all these sort of still images of beautiful kind of green, lush areas, including like the Missouri, St. Louis Zoo, right?
Yeah.
And I typed that in, and then there's like, there's all these ones. And then I looked at them and they're all freezing, and then went on to the polar bear's enclosure, and there's just a polar bear just sat there like, this is what I've been wanting my whole life.
Yeah.
Just snow everywhere. You can see he's really happy.
There was a storm that came through. I was actually thinking of our buddy Todd because it came through like the Washington, Baltimore area. I don't know where he is. I remember seeing the storm, and it's like the high end of the storm was like, you know, maybe 6 inches, but the bottom was like 2 feet. The bottom edge of the storm was going to get like 2 feet. I was like, where is he? And I didn't get a chance to text him. But yeah, it came right through like all, but went right under us by like a couple, like 100 miles. So we haven't had anything up here. And we're not expected to for a little while, which is good for me because I'm going to get all the stuff I need done at the house outside before that. You know, hopefully all happens, but.
Cause I'd read somewhere that it's stretching right the way down to Florida. You know, they're talking about having snow down there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they're talking about having snow, has it happened before?
Oh yeah. Oh, really? John's got snow down there in Texas and you know, they get a couple inches and the whole state shuts down, but cause they're not used to it.
I'm sure Don doesn't normally complain about a couple of inches. But anyway,
actually that is the complaint.
It's too early. It's too early. Mikey's still eating.
Not anymore. Oh, boy.
What are they talking about?
Oh, God. Here we go. All right.
TSG says, Bristol was covered in snow on Saturday. I almost got stuck in Yate. Hang around, TSG. We're going to talk more about that later. We're going to talk about one of the movies. Yeah. We'll come back to that.
Taking some of the HT guys talk here. They love to talk weather. On their show. California. Yeah, exactly. I guess, but yeah.
Have you heard this week's Smartless episode with, Jason Blum from Blumhouse, like horror production studio?
No.
And he's got to get this. So he lives in California and he has built, a deck on the outside of his house, which is enclosed so that he and his wife sleep outdoors every night. So all through the year. So, and this is funny. You were saying about, centigrade and Fahrenheit, because he was saying that it gets down to 9 degrees in California is the coldest it gets. And they still sleep outside.
Oh yeah.
So that's just what they do. And they've just got this enclosed deck side of the house and that's it.
I love sleeping outside. I love camping. Boy Scouts, we did a winter camp and it was probably one of the warmest times. You camp and you actually dig into the snow. Your tent goes in the snow, so you have walls up the side, and like the heat doesn't get out. Wind goes over you. It's natural, and you're like, I mean, it's great. So I love sleeping outside. I love the quiet. I love that idea. You know, just I mean, that sounds fantastic. And like I said, even when this house, once I get insulation on the house, I'm like, why am I coming home? I'll just keep working, go to sleep, get up, work some more, go to work, come back. You know, maybe once I get plumbing, I probably won't leave. I don't have occupancy, but I'm the one working on it. What's the difference?
Now, do you know what, DJ? I'm glad you mentioned insulation, and I'll tell you why. Because there was a conversation I had at the week. I know we've done weather. Now let's talk building. So I was watching a video at the weekend of Ogunquit in Maine. They've got load. Yeah, as have I actually. There's just this video of this guy walking through town. Okay, and it's all snow, and it's all Christmassy, and it's all lovely. And as he gets out of town, the buildings there, the houses, of course, are wood, made of wood, which is what you guys in the East Coast and in the Northeast make the houses out of. And I was talking to someone as I was watching it. Now, what do you insulate a wooden house with then? Is it this stuff that goes in between the two, between the two things? So it's just this kind of, it looks like wool. It's this really thick woolen material. Is that what they use?
Yeah. Yeah. The codes are getting stricter. And now it's like, if you're going to use that insulation, the codes just actually got stricter. When I built my house, the codes I'm under, I think 2x6s, to insulate the house, and you'd have to fill the cavity with the R20. I forget what the R rating is, but it's thick enough for that, right?
So it's like wool, or is it foam, or is it?
Yeah. The pink insulation, the Owens Corning, like pink foam. You fiberglass insulate. You don't want to get it on you. It's itchy. That's the minimum. Now I think you have to go 2x8 if you're going to do that and have even thicker, but you can do 2x6 and do spray foam. Spray foam's more expensive. It's better. It doesn't settle. What I'm doing on my house is spray foam from like basically the floor of the basement all the way up and around, like attic, like roof. So the whole house is sealed in, right?
Okay.
The minimum is like you'd have to do what we were originally going to do, and the way we designed it, the trusses had to be thick enough to have insulation across the ceiling, and then your attic isn't insulated. But it's more expensive. Like, I'll just give you the number. It was going to be $13,000 to insulate my house the conventional way.
Yeah.
22 to do foam. He's giving me a break, but it's 22 to go up and around with spray foam. $9,000 more, but the entire house is sealed. And that gives me my attic as a living space. So it's that to me is worth like everything. And it's a walk up attic. It just basically, and it's more efficient. The whole house becomes more efficient. So, I mean, that alone and the value of the house goes through the roof when you do, no pun intended. But it's like, I mean, it just changes the whole dynamic of the design of the house just by doing that. And I'm like, at that price, I'm like, you're crazy not to do it, because the rest of your life there, you'd be like, why didn't we just spend that? It's like,
yeah, well, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, because, you know, it'd probably cost you $20,000 to do it later. To have them come in and, you know, do it later, where it's like, you're doing it now, just go up and around. There you go. So
couldn't you have just bought a load of big jars of fluff and just put that in the cavities? That would have been fine. Close enough.
Yeah, exactly. So
they get hungry at night, just, you know, spoonfuls.
I can't wait to see how this house is insulated, like how efficient it's going to be, because of like, it's so, it has to be so airtight that the new systems here, you have to have an air exchange unit too. That runs 24, so it's putting, it's constantly pulling in fresh air and out and putting, husky fur does work. It's actually good for, to keep the critters out. Paul Hurt in the chat. Husky fur works. But so welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, where we talk about construction.
Well, yeah, you'd have to have a really big husky though to get enough fur for all of that. But you know,
no, you don't. Paul knows one husky will fill a home. One husky will, trust me.
Do they?
Oh my God. It's ridiculous. I got a husky too. And it's like, oh my God. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. But yeah,
anyway, home theater.
Yeah. Home theater. Right. Before that, yeah, John, as it, people have noticed, it's Steve and I again. John, on the trail looking for a job. He's got some traveling to do, easy for me to say, some traveling to do. So he's going to be moving around in the next couple weeks. Not sure of his schedule. So stay tuned. We could be on Monday night next week. Maybe not. We don't know. Just see what happens. But yeah, so John's on the hunt. So, good luck to him with all of that. And, but yeah, I talked to him today, and excited to get back, but you know, it is what it is.
And I think he just received the Christmas card I sent him.
I got it too. He actually got it before I did. I'm sorry. I actually got it before last week's show. I meant to tell you.
Like day. Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Sorry about that.
Hey, you're okay. Yeah. No worries.
Yeah. but yes, thank you very much. We got that. Appreciate that. And, but yeah, we didn't even do Christmas cards this year. I didn't decorate. I didn't do Christmas cards. I didn't do anything. It's like, and then I felt even worse because John's like, yeah, we don't do them either. He goes, I only sent out two, one to you and Steve. And I'm like, wow, I'm a dink. I'm like, I didn't even do that. Like, holy crap.
No, that's cool. So, I mean, it's all good. I mean, it's just nice to, you know, have this stuff across the pond reaching out.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's yeah. So, yeah. But yes. So thank you for that. And,
no worries.
What else? What else? Do we want to talk home theater?
Go on. There's loads to talk about, in fairness. There's some great stuff, in fact, to talk about this week. Some very great stuff, which, in fact, dovetails rather nicely with your Takeover Tuesday as well.
Really? Okay.
Ooh,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, I have one for you. I mean, I think we're going to be able to go. We'll have a great conversation. One of your choices, I almost did as well, but I decided, you know, let's bring a little bit more to the show. So I did something else instead of that. So, but do you want to open up? Actually, you know what? We should hit on this first.
Okay.
I forgot to mention this last week. I got this Christmas Day. Let's bring this, as it says, add to the stage. Greg Lynch Jr., $5 a month for, small box of popcorn, new Patreon. That is my son-in-law.
Son-in-law. Yeah.
Yeah, I found that out Christmas. I was like, what are you doing? And I forgot to mention it during the show. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I listen for free. I get all this content for free. I want to pay. I was like, come on. But thank you very much. Thanks. Thanks, Greg.
Awesome ninja.
That was very nice. Yeah, awesome ninja. You see him in the chat. So that was awesome. Yeah. But yeah, so... And we will be doing the, Patreon only chat after the show, or I will be. I'll be there. I know Steve's got to get to bed. You have a busy day tomorrow.
Long day tomorrow.
So, but yeah, why don't you kick things off? Which one do you want to go with here?
Do you want to do the one that was pre-Christmas that Shane mentioned? The, just before that one, the one with old, Taron Egerton in. The one you said you didn't think it looked like anything. Keep going up. People will know already what I'm talking about. Carry On is what we're talking about. See if we can.
Oh, there we go.
There it is in the middle. There you go. That's the one.
There we go.
Yeah. Shane mentioned it and we briefly talked about it, but we might as well give it its due.
Oh, all right. Yeah, yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. You might have heard this is Carry On.
Yeah.
And over here in the UK, you've got to have a space between carry and on. You can't say carry on, because if you say that here, that's referring to a stream of comedy movies from the 70s and 80s that were very popular over here. You have to say carry on, otherwise people will just get very confused. So this is the Netflix 4K Dolby Atmos movie, which Shane mentioned, as I said, a couple of weeks ago, as a spin-off to Die Hard 2, which caused you all kinds of confusion, Deej. I think you thought he meant it.
Yeah. I was like, what? That was so funny. I was like, is it really? I'm like, I couldn't tell. I'm like, I don't want to be an idiot. But I turned off to be one anyways.
Oh man. No. So it's not a spin-off of Die Hard 2, although I can see why Shane would say it was. So the story is Taron Egerton is our TSA official and he is in charge of the X-ray machines, and he gets a call from a person who, it's in the trailer, actually. I think I can say it. So Jason Bateman is playing the person who says to him, you must ignore this bag that is going to go through the X-ray machine or else bad things are going to happen to you and your family. And so the story then becomes, does Taron Egerton allow this bag on, which could cause mayhem, or does he try to apprehend Jason Bateman, who is just playing Jason Bateman, it seems to me. No attempt at any kind of accents or anything. It sounds like a Smartless episode.
Yeah.
Kind of odd, really, which I think affects Jason Bateman's kind of threat level. He's supposed to be really terrifying, a kind of a Mr. Big who can manipulate anything, but he just sounds like he's doing Smartless. And so you kind of, it undermines and undercuts the tension a little bit.
Yeah.
He may have been miscast a bit. But anyway, so it's a thriller.
Well, even Smartless are most of his movies. Like all of his movies are
he's not an accent guy, is he?
No. And he's not a bad guy. He's not as serious. Like, I mean, I guess in, what's the show on Netflix that he did there that I love that
Ozark?
Show? Ozark. I mean, that was his most dramatic role that I can think of. Mm. Everything else.
Directed
has been
loads of those as well, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He loves directing and stuff, you know, from Smartless, but. It's like he's just such a fun guy that when you like, you know, he's just so likable and you cast him in something like that, you're like, oh.
Which it's hard and to take definitely serious. A bit of that. Yeah. And that's exactly what this encounters. I said, I think he might have been a bit miscast. I think if you're going to do this role, you've got to, I think, affect some sort of accent, differentiate your persona to the role you're playing, but he doesn't do that. But anyway, so it's a tense cat and mouse kind of film. It is good. It's okay. I think it's a bit forgettable. I mean, there's clearly more people in the chat liking it than I did. So Dom said he enjoyed it very much. Rach says it was really good. And Jordan says it was really good as well. I liked it, didn't love it. I was a little bit kind of, it stretches credibility hugely. And, okay. and so the suspension of disbelief can only take you so far. And I found with this that kind of stretched beyond breaking point a couple of times. And you're just thinking, okay, I'm no longer quite with this. But it's okay. And it's on Netflix. You pay your subscription. You've paid your money. There are worse ways to spend your, hour and 59 minutes. But it's, it is largely forgettable, I think. But it's Netflix. Looks good. You've got all the stuff that you'd expect. There's some quite nice opening sequence in a kind of if I say nursery, like a plant, young plant greenhouse type thing at night. And so the shadow details are really good. The characters are wearing black and against the green and the fluorescent sort of lights. So that looks quite nice. And there are a couple of nice shots at the beginning of, planes going overhead. So in the Atmos speakers, you hear them go right over as they're landing and flying around and stuff, which I thought was really good. So it's decent, but I think forgettable. And I suspect this time next year, if I said to you, oh, Carry On, you'll be like, what? I don't think it'll live long in the memory, but it was fun while it lasted. Not too bad. It's not too bad. Not too bad. Dom says,
I like
he's a man
that.
After your own heart. Yeah. yeah so not exactly. so much suspension of disbelief if you saw Trap a few days before yeah. Carry On like I did.
yeah, exactly. So like watch something really bad. This'll seem good.
And that's fair. I'm not going to complain about it. That's probably about right. Not that I've seen Trap. I've been put off that completely by you. That's fine.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it saved me some time and £25 of buying the disc.
Yeah,
so it's all good. But yeah, so as I said, worth seeing. There's worse ways to spend a couple of hours, but I don't think it'll live long in the memory. But you do have decent audio, decent video, and it is what it is. And again, most people seem to really enjoy it. Give it a go, is what I would say. And again, if you got Netflix, why not?
yeah. Well, yeah, you got Netflix and 2 hours to kill and no other content to find, then there we've got something for you. But
and funny enough, that. Having mentioned Smartless and mentioned Jason Blum from this week's one, there is a very interesting discussion, DJ, in this week's episode about streaming and about the business model behind streaming and theatrical. Is really interesting discussion on it. So anyone that hasn't heard it yet, it's worth listening to. Because Jason Blum, of course, is just does horror. Blumhouse just does horror movies.
Yeah.
They've been very successful at it, but that's all they do. And there's an interesting discussion about, is theatrical going away? Is streaming going to take over? What is it about streaming that is that might make it worthwhile or not? And it's interesting. Will Arnett's got some quite interesting comments on it as well. So it is actually worth watching. So, not bad at all. Listening to, should I say, not watching.
yeah. But
it's worth a listen. It does pertain to the exact stuff that we're all interested in. So, well worth it.
yeah. It, I mean, I remember, what's his name? Matt Damon talking about it years ago, talking about the advantages of streaming and where the market is and what it does for the medium, right? Like I don't think streaming is going to replace theaters per se. I think if theaters fail, it's going to be an individual theater because they're not servicing the customers right. Mm-hmm. Just like, that's like saying, because we can cook so well at home now, we're going to stop going out to eat. That's not true. People still like the night, you just have to do it. You can't serve crap and expect people to show up and have bad service because then they will stay. I'm not going there. You'll find another place to go. And I think the same thing will happen with theaters. They'll find a way to stay around because people want to go out. If we learn nothing else in 2020, people don't want to stay in. As much as we're like, I'd rather stay home and watch it. And tell everybody to stay home and watch it. They're like, why can't I go out? See?
So. But he talked quite interestingly about the new sort of funding models for it as well. So this idea that with Blumhouse, they basically, you don't get paid up front. The actors get paid scale. Right. Movie works, you get back end. Movie doesn't work, you don't get paid, what you would get paid. And he talks in there quite candidly about some of the big name actors that they worked with have made more money from this low budget horror movies than they have from the big tentpole movies they've been in because the back end is so, big, as it were. Dom mentioned Blum also produced Whiplash. Dom, some will tell you Whiplash is a horror movie. And yeah. I think it probably is.
Yeah.
Great film. Yeah. But I think that there are elements of horror in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there we go. But there it is. So yeah, very cool. Yep. But there we go. So carry on. Give it a go if you get round to it.
All right. Let's see. Mine. This one came up after I had done the Takeover Tuesday. Mm. I saw it. It was up. And I had a choice to watch either this one or another one you're about to talk about. Mm-hmm. 4K, Dolby Atmos, HDR, all the fun goodies on. Con Air. Yeah. Insane. I was like, I saw this come up on Kaleidoscape as like for purchase. Just came up last night, right? I was like middle of the night. I'm like, oh my God. And this one and another one we're going to talk about a little later. I bought both, but I was like, I was going to watch the one that you were going to talk about, but I was like, what? Steve's already got that. Let me see how this. And after doing that Takeover Tuesday of, you know, catalog titles and Con Air pops up, I'm like, how is this going to play out? I mean, is this one that we needed in 4K? Is this one we wanted with Atmos and 4K? I mean, I did. I don't know. How did you feel?
Deej, just can we just pause for a brief moment? Okay. Captain AC3.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Put the bunny back in the box. Not put the bunny down. Captain, come on. dear, come on.
There we go.
Anyway, sorry, Deej.
Yeah, it's all right. That's all right. But yeah, this one here, this is actually the oldest catalog I have today. This one's from 97. Mm-hmm. But you know, we're talking Jerry Bruckheimer, you know.
Yeah.
Action. I mean, it's the absolute definition of a popcorn movie, right? Like this is ridiculous. Just fun. Just ridiculous fun. If you haven't seen it, you know, spoilers, they crash land at Vegas. How do you get more fun than that on the Vegas strip? It's like, what the heck? Let's jump to the end. And, but it's like, I mean, it's crazy. But at the same time, it's like what I always liked about this movie is that it just always resonated with me with the idea of like, leave no man behind and there's no price to pay to do the right thing. Right. And it's like, let's take that and just go ridiculous with that just idea. And that's his character throughout the movie. Yeah. You know, like, oh, you can get off the plane.
When I saw this in theaters back in 97. Yeah. And when I first saw it, this is actually one of those movies where the first time I saw it, I just did not like it.
We didn't even know each other yet.
Indeed. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I thought this was kind of stupid the first time I saw it. And Nicolas Cage's hair was doing my head in. And it just kind of like, I just didn't vibe with it like I thought I would. And I just did not get on board with it. However, this is also one of those movies that subsequently I've learned to love. And I really do like this. I've got it on Blu-ray. I mean, the 4K disc, if they do a 4K disc on this, I will pick it up day one. Because I now love the stupidness of it, the over-the-topness of it. For all the reasons I didn't like it, I now love it.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, Beth 525, great movie. I mean, all right, next movie. You can't say it any better than that, right? I mean, better than Godfather.
Yeah, well, hey, let's not go nuts.
Yeah, exactly. No, come on. Let's go nuts. Let's
Is it better nuts. Than Transformers, though?
Oh, not as a home theater movie, but let's get to that.
Yes. Yeah.
This is one of those, like, I don't want to say I had no expectations. They weren't high. I was just like, I hope it's good. Like, you go into Con Air, you get, you know, a 4K Atmos, HDR, it's Dolby Vision, Atmos, all that. And you're like, the way I feel about this, like Dom's saying, we got, you know, The Rock, Gone in 60 Seconds, Face Off. We already have Face Off, but we need The Rock, Con Air. This one here, Con Air showing up. I'm hopeful for The Rock, but I'm also hopeful for Armageddon. That we would get that, even though that is a ridiculous movie as well. Oh, but going into this movie, I was just, don't be bad. Don't be a bad transfer. right? Yeah. Don't be like, oh no, they didn't do enough to it because it was Con Air. It was, you know, so I was just like, just don't be bad. And it turns out it's really good. Mm. Like I'm like the HDR on it, like what would you expect out of Con Air? Like your memory of it, you're like, how much is HDR going to really add to this?
Yeah.
But it really did because the color, I thought the saturation was so much better. It's not Thor Love and Thunder, but there's a lot of bright. Obviously you're crashing into Vegas. You got the bright lights here and there. The black levels are fantastic. Mm. Very, very deep blacks. But then they like when they're inside the plane, the depth that it created, there's one scene early on when the guard's walking through introducing, this is before they took over the plane, the guard's walking down and there's a depth perception there because of the atmospheric, you know, depth perception in the plane. But then they go to like the control tower or whatever where John Cusack is and they're talking about that. The details that you're seeing with the computers and all this just seems so much more enhanced that on a popcorn movie like this, that you're just sitting there, like literally just eating popcorn. This is fun. Let's watch things blow up. The detail in the black, in the shadows in the backgrounds and stuff, you're looking at it like there's one shot, you know, Jerry Bruckheimer shoots everything from the floor up. So you're looking at like Cyrus the Virus, but now you're looking at the ceiling of the plane going, what's that up there? Like, is that insulation? Is that a speaker? Is that, there's so much more stuff that you're like, this is great. And yes, Steve, I know if you're watching this stuff, you're not paying attention to the movie, but having seen this movie so many times, yes. I hope you didn't lose the plot, you know, when you do enjoy this. I know it can get a little convoluted. Is he getting off the plane? Is he getting on the plane? Is Dave Chappelle going to make it? I mean, come on. Why? I mean, come on, you know, but there's a lot to be seen and enjoyed in the backgrounds. And like I said, the bright lights of the cities, the bright lights of the lights going, the explosions. What I'm enjoying even more now with this even more enhanced HDR is like you get the explosions, but then you get the deep blacks and then the grayer smokes coming out of it. It just really creates that more like a 3D film, a 3D feel. I mean, the sound, the bass is really nice. This was nominated for Oscar. Two nominations.
Ooh. Sound design?
Sound and music.
How do I breathe without you, Leanne Rimes? Is that the one?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I got a little misty-eyed. No. But the bass to this is like, all I could think is like texture. It just added so much to it. It's like, you know, the opening, not opening scene, but when they basically John Cusack's doing the voiceover for all the guys getting on the plane, the music in the background and how they move the score to emphasize like Cyrus the Virus. Yeah. Hairstyling. There you go. But also like every time they unlock or lock a cell to move the prisoner, it's like, boom, your room just goes, right? Oh, nice. Not Lucy, not that kind of bass, but a lot of really, really good effects, good Atmos in the plane, the overheads. I didn't really feel like I was like stuff going on overhead, like you would localize, but it gave you that like you're in the plane, you know? One of the things I really enjoyed, I don't know if it's more or less accentuated, if you will, but Steve Buscemi, he's got the whole world. It is fantastic. It's like you just hear him the whole way through. The crash, I will say the crash into Vegas doesn't age as well.
Yeah.
In 4K. It's like, you can see the plane looks like a sticker kind of, like we know what we're looking. It's not horrible, but it's like, it's coming in. It's like, it doesn't really play. And the editing is harsh because you're like, they got close-ups of them looking at, you know, they're like, okay, you go from this to a long shot and now the plane's going by. And one of the things I always found funny about this is that crash is that, the plane seems to pick up speed.
Yeah,
after it hits the ground. Yeah. It's going down the strip and it's like slowing down, but then it picks up more speed. And then it hits the fountain area where you would take the big splash. And then it's like, all right, now we're going to go a little faster after the fountain. Like, I thought it was slowing down, but it is just, I thought the transfer was good. It's grainy at times at the beginning, but it's not super clean, but it's, I thought it was really good. And if you've enjoyed the movie, I definitely think it's worth grabbing when it comes out on physical. So much fun. Physics are different in Vegas. Kevin, nice. I like that. But fun movie. Fun movie. Oh, well, really, really enjoyed it.
I mean, it's a no-brainer pickup for me in 4K. I mean, like I said, I've learned to love that film. But the guys in the chat talking about Armageddon and The Rock. I mean, you talked in Takeover Tuesday, Deej, about this anticipation for catalog titles. I mean, you know, well, we're going to talk about one of those in a bit, but but for me, you know, The Rock and Armageddon would be two must-buy movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got them both on Blu-ray. You know, I see reference to the Criterion DVD of Armageddon. That was non-anamorphic, Dom. And so it just looked dreadful. Whereas the Blu-ray is not too bad. But yeah, the 4K of those two, those would be very sought after. I seem to remember though, Deej, someone mentioned, we've talked about Armageddon before.
Yeah.
I seem to remember someone saying, wasn't the original negative destroyed in a fire or something?
Yeah.
It had been so, you know, that all they're left with are going to be, you know, copy prints or work prints.
Yeah.
And the work that they'd have to do to those to get them 4K ready.
Cause it's rough. Even in Blu-ray, it's like, remember we did a show on it, or we talked about it during a show, and I was like, this is rough. And it's like, audio wise, they can remix, they could do like they've done with Twister, and they could take the elements of that. It's like, but the picture, you're right. It's like, if they don't have it, if it's been lost, then it's like, it's just, The Rock though, to me, The Rock and Gone in 60 Seconds, I would say I actually enjoy those movies more than Armageddon. And it's
great.
Gone in 60 Seconds, 4K with Atmos, the music in that, and how, like, the engines and the car. I mean, I just love cars. So I just, that would just be so much fun. But, I mean, and The Rock is like Con Air, just stupid fun, right? Oh, Sean Connery.
Yeah, although The Rock has just, The Rock's got Sean Connery. It's got Michael Bay. And Sean Connery, by the way, playing James Bond. I mean, he is essentially James Bond in that movie. I mean, and they don't hide that either. I think they're very open about it. The Rock, I think, is a better film than Con Air. I mean, but I like them both, but The Rock would be fantastic. The action in The Rock is better staged and just so cleverly done. It's Michael Bay. I mean, the guy can direct action, if nothing else. So I would love both of those. But The Rock would be the just above Armageddon shortly after. But yes, both of those, please. Home theater gods, if you're listening.
Yep. I think they are, right?
I hope
they are. I mean, I think they are. I was like, I didn't even know did you know Con Air was coming at any point?
No, I didn't.
And for it to pop up this week, I was like, it's a must buy. I think I bought it at 2 o'clock this morning. I was like, I'm on my phone. I'm like, Con Air? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Cha-ching. Grabbed it. I mean, it's like, and then it was there for me this morning. So I was like, all right, great. And it's like, I mean, they're listening, you know, and it's like, these are big events. And it's like talking about like my conversation today about conversation. It's just me, but my monologue today about catalog titles. It's like you said, it's like you saw this in the theater, you know, in 97, you didn't like it or whatever, but you had an experience. It's like, hopefully that's happening 20 years from now with, I don't know, what stupid movie came out this year that is like Con Air, you know?
Yeah. Kevin says, is that 4K DJ on Blue? No, yes. It's that's on Kaleidoscape though. Kevin,
that's on Kaleidoscape.
Not the 4K. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. It just came out on Kaleidoscape today, which is hopeful that it's probably out digitally somewhere. You could probably stream this. I didn't have time to look into it. I was too busy watching Con Air today. but it probably, you could stream it somewhere. If you want to Google that, you know, cause usually Kaleidoscape gets stuff. If it goes digitally anywhere, they get it as well. The studio releases it to Kaleidoscape, the digital version, which is usually a, you know, precursor for this will be coming out in a month or so. You know, I would guess. if you have questions on that, I would say your best guess would be go talk to Shane on his YouTube channel, Spare Change, and be like, you'd be able to get him over there, or the real Shane Lee, you'd be able to get him over there. And he could actually just, he knows some, he looks into more of that stuff than we do. So,
Nelson, we'll be in the
there we go, buddy. He just picked it up on Kaleidoscape. There you go. Nice.
Well, Dom's got some interesting news. Yeah, so apparently a 4K remaster was completed for Armageddon and screened in LA early December. So coming in 2025. I mean, that's
nice. Nice. Hey, we're in 2025, Steve.
Maybe it's out now.
Yeah, there you go. Woohoo.
Yeah, so very, very cool. I mean, I would love that. I mean, Armageddon's great. The Rock is great. Oh. You know, these are movies that you know, we would be very, very cool.
Yeah. Oh, poor Kevin. He's in Sweden. Mm. Sweden.
Deej, do not go bork, bork, bork. It's entirely inappropriate. Don't do it.
No, I do Sweden like Kramer did. Sweden. Okay. From Seinfeld. Yeah, that's how he said that, Seinfeld.
I thought you were going to do Jamie Lee Curtis from Trading Places.
No. Van Gogh's saying Con Air is on 4K on Fandango.
Mm.
So you can grab it. You can...
I wasn't going to say that, Kevin. Kevin said what? Meatballs in IKEA.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
I wasn't going there. I
love Swedish meatballs.
Could you say that a little 5% less creepy, Deej?
Nope. I could add more.
But just before we move on from Con Air, Deej, a movie that begins with a fight in a bar and it all goes wrong.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's like, who knew? Who knew?
Who knew? But who knew?
You know that movie does? Yeah. This is, I'm not talking out of school because it's my dad. My dad was in Vietnam trained and he comes home. I've told this story before that he's like, this is where I get Brightside from. Everything's positive. He's drafted, sent over there for a year. And every story he ever told me was positive. Hmm. Told me about battles he was in. He's like, oh, it was great. We did this. And I won't describe him, but he's like, we did this. He was like little kid. And he's like, oh yeah, they taught us this move. He's like, you're fighting. You're like, bam, just right up, put his nose right back in his brain, drop him dead. I was 10.
That's schoolyard bodies later.
Exactly. I'm like, I was more protecting my nose. Like, I'm the one that's going to have it happen.
Not the face.
I was like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh my God. But I'm like, it's like, this is a little things like you say to your kid. You're like, you know, I'm like, okay. I'm like, Dad, have you taken a psychology class? Did you really? But yeah, so then I'm seeing, I swear to God, when I saw this in 97, I'm like, my dad taught me that. the only one in the theater screaming, yay! What the hell?
He does
it in
The Last Boy Scout as well, doesn't he? Bruce Willis does it as well.
Oh yeah, people have done it with headbutts. They've done it. Yeah, that's Last Boy Scout, one of my dad's favorite movies. Love that movie because he loves the sarcasm.
In 4K. I'd quite like that in 4K as well, whilst we're talking.
Talk about buddy film. Right? That, like, oh my God. And that's why my father loves, my father is so sarcastic. And that's why he told me about The Last Boy Scout before I saw it. And he's like, you gotta see this. It's so funny. And that would be great in 4K. Mm. Bruce Willis. And, oh my God. What is it? Damon Wayans? Is it Damon?
Damon Wayans? Wayans? Yeah.
Wayans? Yeah.
Damon Wayans, isn't it? Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What do you want? What do you want next?
You want to put that one to bed? The next one that you've been desperate to get rid of? No.
Which one?
Probably that one. The one on the left in the middle there, or that one. Your favorite.
Oh, Jesus. All right. We'll do this one. I'm going to take a break, everybody. You guys all have fun. Yeah, you know what you got to do.
Go push play. What he said.
And here we go.
Okay. So this is only the third time we're talking about Terrifier 3. After the screener, and then so there was some other occasion we brought it up, and now here we are with the 4K disc. The holiday movie for Terrifier 3. It's all set at Christmas. Art the Clown is wearing a Santa costume for much, if not all, of the film. It is a true holiday movie. And by the way, Deej, on pure ratio of budget to box office, the biggest movie of last year made 45 times its budget. So it was a certified mega hit.
Say what?
Yeah. It's 45 times its budget is what it made back. So,
oh my God. Well, yeah, that is the nature of horror though, right? Cause they're so cheaply made and then it's easier. And that's why like the studio, we're hearing that more and more. And Jordan's talking about it. John's talking about it. It's like, this is what happens. It's business wise, it makes sense. Yeah. Entertainment wise, I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not about to sell this to you then, DJ.
All right. Steve at the chat. Okay. I'm leaving with DJ.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, buddy. Okay. Me too, Steven. It's like the numbers are just, I'm back, everybody. Please. Sorry.
If ever there is a film that may well make you think, you know what? I don't need this. This would be it. So this is the third one.
I already had that. I have a list. Yeah. I actually have a list.
This is, you might as well put this on there. The third of the Terrifier series, this one has been made with a slightly bigger budget. I've talked about the movie before. It is very, very, very hard going. If you like the other Terrifier movies, you will like this one, but it does push this boundaries even further than before.
Oh,
now, it is well worth seeing if you like the other two, because it does move the story forward. But be warned, guys, anyone that hasn't heard me talk about this before, this is a new level in what is acceptable to show on screen, and that includes the death of children at a number of occasions in the movie, and that is very, very difficult. Now, having said that, this is a 4K disc and it's in Dolby Atmos. Now, what surprised me about that, Deej, is Blu-ray.com reviewed the 4K disc and said it only had 5.1 DTS HD. So you know what they've done? They've done what I did a couple of weeks back, and they've put the movie on and not checked it. Because it doesn't default to Atmos. It defaults to DTS HD 5.1. And what I think the review has done there is just didn't look. So put it on, because on the back of the box, it just says, you know, Dolby. It doesn't really go into the details. So it's in Dolby Atmos. It's in 4K HDR. And as a home theater experience, it is interesting therapy.
Captain AC3. Two words, Steve. Therapy.
I'm pretty sure that's one word.
Yeah. Well, he's saying two words. Steve. Therapy.
Or is he trying to say the rapey? Because what the hell is that all about? Anyway, so what are you trying to say, Steve? Captain AC3?
Captain AC3. You're Steve. He's Captain AC3. You don't even know who you are anymore.
It's that kind of weird.
This movie was so bad, Steve forgot who he was.
Oh. See, but that's the thing. I don't think this film is bad. I just think it's very hard to watch because it's meant to be. It's actually a good film. I mean, I've seen it three times now.
Oh, okay.
But it's very hard to watch because of the nature of what's on it, and the violence is extreme. I mean, there's no getting away from that. So as a home theater experience, though, it's interesting. The video has issues, but deliberately so. It's been shot like a video nasty from the 80s. So you get that really high contrast, the really deep colors, but lots of what is digital grain, because it would have been shot digitally. So they've added grain to it, which is noisy at times. And I was a little bit annoyed by that. But I know what Damien Leone, the director, is going for. He's trying to make this look like a grungy grindhouse special. That's clearly what he's going for, and has succeeded, because that's what it looks like. But there is good black levels, good detail, the reds, and there's a lot of reds, surprisingly, not just because it's all the blood.
Really?
It's a Santa movie too.
That's interesting.
So the reds are really good. But what is good in particular is the audio in this is actually fairly decent, bearing in mind it's a pretty low budget movie. There is a big explosion in this film that rolls right to the back of the room. There are occasions where chainsaws are used, and they zip around the room, and there is some quite nice atmospherics with storms and stuff going on outside at times. So there's a home theater merit to it.
Carl Ellsworth
Do you know what? I'll be curious to ask Carl about these. I doubt he's seen them. He's too good a guy to have seen these. he's too nice a guy. Yeah. He's far too nice a guy to have seen them.
No. Yeah. He wrote Unhinged.
Yeah, but this is deed. Right. Violence levels, right? Here is Unhinged. Terrifies up here. Unhinged is the far more intelligent sister film to something like
but Carl's far more intelligent.
It's like, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what makes it scarier, because you read on, you watch Unhinged and you're like, this could happen. why is somebody documented this? Like, and our friend of the show that watched it, she was like, what kind of psycho wrote this? And I'm like, he's going to be on the show.
He loved that idea. What,
remember, I told him that. I told him that in the 25-hour show. He just laughed. Great. But yeah, yeah.
This is a like, different level of you know, of movie completely. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be disappointed in Carl if he's seen this. He's far too nice a bloke to have seen these.
Yeah.
What does that say about me? But still, I've seen it three times. But anyway, there is home theater. Quality to this. There is some good stuff in this if you can get beyond the movie. And as I said, I happen to like the film, but I just don't feel I'm doing anyone a favor by not warning people of what's to come. You know, see, if you get beyond one, you know what you're going to get with two. You get beyond two, you know what you're going to get with three. But don't.
Are they making a four where they come to your house and like slice your arms?
Well, yeah. 45 times its budget, Deej. You can bet that they were doing that before this thing had even kind of finished its first weekend. There's a four coming. It has merit. It is a home theater film. But as I said, just anyone watching it, beware of what you are in for. Oh, and Paul Hurt is eerily prescient. Says, I think I'll sit in the Winchester and wait for this to blow over. That's a quote from Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Really prescient. Yeah. So there we go. So anyway, Terrifier 3, you know what you're getting. Decent home theater with the 4 pages.
Rachel saw it.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
She's saying it's hard to watch. Very violent. It wasn't for me.
Yeah. There you go. It's very, very hard going. You know, just.
Good on you, Rachel, for giving it a shot. I won't. Yeah. I don't mind violence. I don't mind extreme violence. I've experienced it in real life. but I don't find it entertaining. Not like I sit there and go, ooh, don't do that, you know, but it's not entertaining.
I get that. But this is these are important films for horror buffs because of the, as I've said before, they establish a new benchmark and everything going forward will be measured against the level of violence shown in these. And that's I get that that's kind of, you know, that is there notoriety or merit in that? Probably not. But for those of us that are horror fans, this is kind of, we're kind of required to see these.
Oh, glad you did your homework.
Always.
All right. Is that it on this? Can I come back?
We're not going to go back to Terrifier 3 anytime soon.
All right. Not until Terrifier 4 comes out. All right. Yeah. So let's see. Let me go with the super obvious. This is considered a catalog title. That I really wanted to experience with the new, you know, upgrade, with the new enhanced HDR that I have. And I was not disappointed. So let's bring this up. Yeah. So Ready Player One. Everybody, I mean, it's, you know, spoilers. It's fantastic. I mean, as a home theater experience, this is like we've talked about ad nauseum here. it's beginning to end. I actually find this more than like beginning to end than Pacific Rim, because of the nature of the dynamics of the movie, the story. I mean, Pacific Rim is just a juggernaut of sound that just starts at, you know, it like cranks it to 12 and just stays there the whole time. Whereas this one, Ready Player One, there's some nicer moments. There's some, you know, there's quieter moments, but then it ramps back up. There's a lot more going on to it. Yes, absolutely. What's funny about that, if you know, like PG-13, you're allowed one of those. That's what they, and Jordan is, he did spell it correctly. For the chat, but it's Blank and Chucky. It's Blank and Chucky, which is great, you know, and we've talked about that here too, about that battle scene at the end and all the things that the crew or the art department were trying to get past Spielberg into that battle scene and stuff. But this is one of those catalog titles that to me is like, as you upgrade your system or you get a new piece and get a new display, new audio, whatever it is, it's like there's so much more to pull out of it. And this one had it. It's just I get why. Now, and that's what's fun to me is like, how many years did you say people say like, oh, you can't get anything out of projector. It's going to suffer so much because it's not an OLED. It's not, you know, your display, Steve. It's not, you don't get the same black levels. You can't experience it. Like you don't get the depth perception. And like you've been saying for years to me, like, oh, the 4K is better than 3D. Mm-hmm. And this movie came out in 3D. It was very, very good. Mm-hmm. I own it in 3D, but it in 4K now in my theater with the large screen, I'm getting closer just in my theater with the same exact projector I've had since it was like, I'm going to say flatter, right? Because the dynamic, mm-hmm. it wasn't capable, didn't have the brain power. Just upgrading the brain power. Never mind. I know there's better projectors out there. There's better projectors that'll do a deeper black level that will be able to do more. What is that going to be like? And this is all out of catalog content, right? And it's like this one, what was Ready Player One? 2018?
I want to say 2017, but I'm not, let me, I'll double check.
Yeah. Let me see. I'll pull it up here. Boop, boop, boop. My movies.
Ratio.
Oh my God, my internet's slow.
2018.
Thank you. Why'd you doubt me, buddy?
Hey, man, I apologize.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But yeah, so 2018. And here's this. Oh, damn. Nice segue. Hashtag dork. I was listening to them back in, I've been listening to them since 2015, whenever they started. It was before Ryan was even on the show. But anyways, he recommended the book. And 2 weeks before this movie came out, they were talking about the movie coming out, that it was a Spielberg movie. The book, he was saying, is fantastic. If you're a kid from the 80s and you enjoy the 80s and all the references, he's like, read the book. I read in 2 weeks before the movie came out, I read the entire book, finished the book. I didn't think I was going to finish it in time, but the night it came out, the Thursday night, I finished the book at 8 o'clock, jumped in the car, got to the theater for the 9 o'clock showing. Right after finishing the book. So I saw it opening night right after finishing the book and wasn't disappointed. It's completely different, not completely different, same story, but there's some, they, like, for instance, if you've seen the movie and the two meet in person, that doesn't happen until the end in the book. And it's actually a better meet. It's actually a better meeting. It's, I like the book better, but yeah, so hashtag dork. Is, you know, was responsible for turning me onto the book. Me watching this again, catalog title. Now I'm reading I'm back to reading again very slowly. I think I've read 2 pages in the last week, but Ready Player Two, which I started reading a few years ago. But anyways, back to hashtag dork. We are no longer the reigning podcast dorky. I meant to mention this earlier in the show. But congratulations to TLDR. Buddies of ours who's been on the show, Joe Gilmore, Batcracker on Twitter. They do TLDR, Too Long Didn't Read, comic book show, comic book podcast. Joe used to be on Brightside Chat with John and I. Now he's with Nick Fryer. They're doing great. They're getting all these interviews. They're like talking with people. In the industry, all the writers, great comic book show, and Dork references them all the time for their comic book stuff. So I was psyched to hear that they won it. But I was psyched to say, I'm like, friends are disappointed we didn't win again. I'm like, we're not going to win again. I'm like, come on. But it's like, come on, seriously.
Oh,
but
come on.
I'm going to pat us on the back. We were the first ones to dethrone the bad boys of Comic-Con, hashtag dork. So, and now the mantle has been passed on to TLDR. Couldn't be happier for those guys over there. I honestly thought they should have had it years ago, because they're doing such a great job. So, Nick Fryer and, you know, Dr. Joe over there. Yeah, check them out, TLDR comic book podcast. So, but anyways, yes, back to Ready Player One. Again, you've been saying 3D, 4K. It is. It's so close now. It is so good. And this, the details that you're seeing, the details that I'm getting, again, like I said, the smoke, the explosions, the bright lights, the DeLorean in that opening scene, and the what you're seeing in the metal and stuff. So good. So good. And obviously the audio is the audio, the music, the soundtrack to this, just so much fun. But there's this, it's one of those, like, I can't wait for my next upgrade to, and this is one of those ones that you just use to test, because is it going to improve it? And it's crazy, right? Cause like I said in the show today, it's like these catalog titles, like all that information is there. We just didn't have it, just didn't have the capability to get it. You know?
Oh yeah. I mean, do you still see different things in the background that you haven't seen before? Different characters.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. That's one of the strong things about it, as well as all the technological awesomeness of it. Every time I see it, I see something else. It's great.
Yeah. And I wanted to make notes, but I was having it's so much fun watching the background, seeing the things, seeing the hair, seeing his face, seeing, like, Artemis's face and the makeup on the face and the texture to the makeup. Like, there's actually, it's supposed to be, they're in the Oasis, right? Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be digital, but you can see some textures to it to make it feel real, right? The Iron Giant, the detail in that, right? And it's like, inside the Mecha Godzilla. Right. And like, he's in the head. And so you go in there, and the detail that you're seeing, the 3D-ness of like when they throw the bomb in there and stuff, or whatever, and the explosions coming through and the brights. That's the biggest upgrade I'm seeing right now with my quote enhanced HDR, is that the brights are so much brighter that it's making the black level seem even blacker, but the brights coming at you, and you're opening your eyes and then close. And it's like, like your irises. So it's just so much better. But yeah, the details in the background, that battle scene, you could just freeze frame the entire thing.
Oh, yeah.
Next frame. That's one of the ones I know we've talked about in the past. Like, I wish they came out with this. And I talked to Kaleidoscape about it at Cedia. Why can't we go frame by frame? Like, I used to be able to do frame by frame with my, Hi-Fi VCR. I had the knob and each little tactile click was a frame of the movie, and you could see every single, like, back and forth. It's like, they gotta have that capability. It's digital. Why can't you just go frame by frame and imagine how much fun we could have with scenes in movies like this?
Well, it'd be amazing. I mean, isn't this the one where the digital artist kept putting stuff in to these shots and then only telling Spielberg about it afterwards? So they'd put in the Battletoads, and they put in, Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees and all that. And then loads of Gremlins as well. And apparently he's like, when did those get there? And they're like, oh yeah, sorry, Steve.
Well, he didn't want it. They had to get it past him. So they were trying to put stuff in. And if he saw some of his stuff in there, he said, get it out. So they had to get, it was trying to get it. That was the game. It was trying to get it into the movie past him. And that was the fun of it. And
But I still think one of my favorite references in it is the little sign in the backdrop of the garage that says, save Ferris.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Oh yeah. It's, there's so many of those little things. And even in the garage in, what's their name? The one that has the garage, and you see, like, the one from Battlestar Galactica, right? The Viper. There's a Viper hanging in the back of the room and stuff. And all of that is, like, even more enhanced now for me with the depth perception and everything of the haze and the clarity and stuff. So, but this one here is the next one I'm going to talk about. Next catalog title I'll talk about is a little bit more, subtle. And I was blown away more than this. This is just like I said, this is like Pacific Rim, just fantastic, blown away. It is awesome. But the next one I'll talk about is even,
awesome.
I have a whole new appreciation for the movie, to be fair.
Ooh, okay.
So, yeah. Mm. Yeah. So we'll get to that in a little bit. Mm. So, all right. Which would you like to do?
Yeah, do that one now. Let's do that one. Yep. This is the one I was obliquely mentioning to TSG.
Obliquely?
Yeah.
What have you been doing? What have you been doing? Sit-ups? Working your obliques? Steve's giggle.
Where?
Oh boy. Yeah.
Okay, lay it on me.
Here we go. Oh, here we go.
Ooh. Okay. So this.
There it is.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Here, sorry about the picture again, guys. I couldn't get it.
I have a tattoo that kind of looks like that writing.
Oh, there you go. Tramp stamp.
Well, yeah. That's not the one I was referencing.
That was this way up. One. Fragile.
Yeah, this way up.
So,
oh my God, just yeah.
So this is the, and again, apologies for the picture. I could not find a portrait poster image. This is only landscape, not portrait. So this is Robert Eggers' Nosferatu for in theaters, which I saw over the weekend. Robert Eggers, Deej, of course, the director of The Northman, The Witch, The Lighthouse. So finally hit, finally got to see it. Came out in the US Christmas Day. We had to wait to New Year's Day and I had to wait to the weekend because of On Call and, you know, all the kind of family craziness. So this is exactly as it says. It's a remake of the 1920s version. It's been remade a number of times since. It is basically the tale of Dracula. But as told through the, through a slightly different lens. And it is, as a movie, everything you would expect from Robert Eggers directing Nosferatu. It is very, very good indeed. And I cannot wait for the 4K disc of this. This, Deej, while I was listening to your Takeover Tuesday earlier today as I was driving around, this was me thinking, well, yes, there are catalog titles I would kill to get, but I am champing at the bit to get this in 4K.
Yeah.
So the story goes, it's a director's cut coming to 4K as well. So it's an extended version. And there are definitely sequences in this that come out of nowhere and end a bit quickly. And I think there must be extra stuff there. You can almost kind of see the joins.
But that's just But like to get to the catalog versus new releases, that's how they create a buzz for the new release. They give you a different version, right? They're like, don't worry. When you get this at home, they'll be to create more of that buzz, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas people like us, it's like, yes, we can't wait to get this at home. But the catalog titles, what I find interesting is like, we talk about it for years, like we're saying, The Rock or Gone in 60 Seconds. You know, it creates a buzz longer, but this is rare. It's great that you can't – I mean, I can't wait to see it myself, but it's rare that you're that excited about a new release, right? Yeah, as excited as we were for like Aliens and True Lies and Terminator and stuff, you know. But now, yes, you are excited because there's that extra added feature of more movie. Yeah.
But it's also a movie that I think is made – to be experienced in a situation that is better than your average theater. Because, I mean, I have to admit, I could not get tickets to this. And, you know, I've talked about the theater that's local to me. It's got these big recliners and all this leather recliners, all this kind of thing. They were all sold out. All the performances were sold out. So I had to see this in another local theater that is crap. Old school theater seats covered in popcorn, you know, all in, and just, you know, and for a movie that is so visually
sticky. Things have been squirted everywhere and it's all just sticky and gross.
Exactly what you're saying. Yes. But a movie that has been created as to be so visually complex as this. And of course we know Robert Eggers' work on The Northman and, you know, he knows a frame. He knows how to create an interesting gothic frame. And this movie's dripping with that, not the spraying, dripping, not spraying.
There you go.
With this sort of stuff. And unfortunately the projector that I saw this on.
You
get
putting down, don't you?
I'm afraid I do.
We're in trouble.
the projector that I saw it in just couldn't cope with the black levels, could not cope with the density of the frame. So the black levels are gray. I've seen still images of some of the stuff in this. And when I saw it, it's gray.
Well, look at the poster. Let me see if I can zoom in on the poster a little bit. It's like, look at the poster and the detail that you're getting, the gradation in black levels just in that poster.
Yeah. Right. And that's indicative of the movie. That's what it's like. You know, that's not a frame from the movie, but it could be, if you see what I mean.
No, but exactly. But that's, I mean, it's lending itself to just that. Like, look at the way the light, if you're listening to this on Friday, go to YouTube. But the way the light comes across the screen, down from the, from 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock, but you have the deep black in the middle, but then the blacks on the side. I mean, all of that, imagine that playing that out on a screen and the projector can't handle it.
Yeah.
Those black levels aren't going to be as deep and the brights probably aren't, or the brights might be too bright. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that's the point. The subtlety is the point of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yes, in terms of that, but also because it's a gothic horror film, and Robert Eggers, if there's anything else you say about him, he's a gothic movie director. You know, and you look at The Witch and The Lighthouse and The Northman, it's all very gothic. And this is kind of the next evolution of it. And I've seen still images of some of the frames in this, and it's just way more dense. And my screen will produce that way better than the projector in the cinema. And yes, TSG, you're right about the cinema. He's correctly guessed which cinema I saw it in. So it was a shame that and I could see all this stuff and I was just thinking, I know this can be better. The audio to answer Kevin's question about how's the Atmos. Now, again, it's an older, crappy theater. They do have Dolby Atmos, but it's, I doubt anyone's calibrated it in a while. However, it's still very good. When you hear Count Orlok speak, who is the aforementioned Nosferatu, you get that same kind of, sort of Viking guttural kind of speaking that you get at the beginning of The Northman. And it's kind of in all the speakers, and that kind of the way they roll their tongues when they talk is just awesome. And that will sound fantastic in a decent home theater. So the story was good. The imagery could have been better, but bodes well for home theater. And so does the audio. It was never less than a riveting movie. I really enjoyed it. And it is every bit as gothic as you want it to be. Now, what I was talking to you about earlier, TSG, you were referring to is what was cool about this though, and what enhanced the experience for me, Deej, and not the delivery system for once. So I go in to see this movie, a gothic, dark horror movie with lots of snow and everything else. And when I came out of the theater, dark, stormy, and snowing. And so it was a very cool kind of, come out into the same, talk about life imitating art. So come out into this thing and it's exactly the same. And that was like, that was quite fun.
Did anybody bite you on the neck?
Not that I'm aware of, although I'm keeping this up high just in case. Although interestingly in this, the bites are not to the neck.
I've not read
the original source material to the chest.
Right for the heart.
Well, I've never read the book. I'm not going to pretend that I have. I've never read Bram Stoker's Dracula. I don't know whether this is something that's come elsewhere. But it's not a bite to the neck in this. The vampire bites to the chest. Yeah, I mean, how would you get through the breastbone?
That's what I mean. That'd be like there's not. Yeah, you go into the neck for the jugular, you go to the wrist for the, there's purpose there in what you're after, That's like going to the side of the Slurpee machine to get your drink.
Yeah.
It's like bang, bang, bang. Where is it? Go out front.
I've got a drink problem,
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why, but it's very, very good indeed, Deej. I mean, as I was watching it, I was thinking, is this one that Deej is going to enjoy? I'm not sure if you will.
Oh, I love Dracula stories.
I think I do. There'll be something in this for you then, but it's not as visceral as The Northman. Which we just, we both love.
Oh, yeah.
It's not as visceral as that. This is a brooding, dark drama. And, all things don't resolve themselves as you might expect. But it's never less than riveting. And again, it's really, really good. So I really enjoyed it. And roll on the 4K disc.
Oh, yeah. I'll wait for that. I mean, I wanted to see it in the theater. I don't think it's in the good theater anymore now. So I'll wait to get it at home, but I really am looking forward to this one.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it's great. Really good. Jordan says, I had snow and darkness when I left the cinema as well. This is the thing. It's actually very cool. So,
this is what I was talking about earlier when the writing for it. Tramp stamp. You see that? Yeah. My tramp stamp. This isn't actually mine. But that's not actually me, but that's what I have on the back of my arm. That's one word upside down. That's family? Two shots of the same word. Family, if you're looking online on YouTube, family, but the bottom says forever. So it's the same word upside down.
Yeah.
Back of it. It's the same word, but it's like you have that, family forever. It's just the way they wrote it that it looks, depends on how you look at it is what it says.
It's clever, isn't it?
So, yeah. That's why I was looking at the writing for that poster. I'm like, if you turn that upside down, does it say something else? And I didn't really get to focus. I'll do that later. But yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I won't put that on the screen just because let's not get sued. But yes, I do agree with you. And what's bad is that that particular chain is also the chain that has the really, really, really good cinema just up the road. But as I say, all the performances were sold out. Nosferatu has become, Focus Features produced it. It's become their biggest movie of all time already. It did $52 million in its first week.
Oh, wow.
And so for and it's Robert Eggers' biggest movie by far. So yeah, very, very cool. Roll on 4K. I don't know how quick it'll hit Kaleidoscape Deej, but hopefully fairly quick because this is one you're going to want to see this in the winter. You're not going to want to see this in the middle of summer or spring. You want to see this when it's snow
in February,
outside.
I bet sometime in February. Depends, if it's not doing as well, which I think it's doing really well though, isn't it?
It's the biggest release ever. $52 million in a week. For a horror movie like that, it's gangbusters. So it might come sooner, but as I said, it's one to watch on a dark and stormy night. And if there's snow as well, it's so much the better.
There you go. Dark and stormy night. Ooh. All right. You see what we got coming up?
Can you see this? I can't read it. I can't quite see. Yeah. I like playing this game. I like to be able to see if I can see what it is first.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, next catalog title, which believe it or not is, yes, I can tell you catalog title. So, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. And funny, the reason I didn't realize, I watched Ready Player One first, and as soon as I'm pushing play on this, I'm like, damn it, Ben Mendelsohn, bad guy in both. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like that crossover, didn't mean it. It wasn't part of the motivation for it or anything like that. It was just like, here he is again. It's like, so this movie is, what is this one? This one's 2016.
Is it?
2016.
I thought it was 2014, but 2016. If you say so, I mean, I'm not going to doubt you again.
Yeah. It was 2016. It was like a Christmas movie, I think. And what's funny is I looked up, when did we start getting HDR, 4K HDR? Mm. And that was in 2016.
16, 17, wasn't it?
I've seen this movie many times. I really, really enjoy this movie. I love how they basically took one of those, like John and I have talked about so many times. They basically took the complaint everybody had, why would you design a Death Star with that one? And they took that and went, hold my beer. And they wrote an entire fantastic story around why that happened for this movie. The problem I've always had with this movie was I felt like I didn't think it was shot right, or I didn't like it was too gray, right? Like it didn't look right to me. So in 2016, I had did I have my 1080 projector yet? I probably did because I bought, I definitely have my 1080p projector, my Vivitech. Had decent black levels for what I could afford. That's what that's what Jim recommended I get. But this movie just didn't play as well to me. I was always like, and it just, I had it on Blu-ray, obviously got the 4K, just didn't play as well. Now it changed the entire movie for me picture wise because so you go from the opening scene. What I always saw in the opening scene was like, everything's muted. Now I'm seeing the opening scene. It's all the humidity. It's the planet that they're on. It's the humidity is so thick. So then it's on my older projector or even this projector before it was capable of doing what it's doing. Was like, you couldn't see the gradations. You couldn't see the difference. There wasn't enough of a difference for me to perceive it. But not only am I perceiving that, but now all the water on them, look at all the characters. They're soaking wet, but it's not raining. like the troopers in all black, you see the droplets on them. Ben Mendelsohn in the white, you see the droplets on them. It's all of that makes more sense. And then you see when, Jin goes into like the little kid, she goes into the little, the hiding spot hole, there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hole, it's dark, the deep, deep blacks. There's so much more that I never experienced before. The Star Wars, the stars moving in the opening title, like they bring it up, but it's like, for some reason, those few stars are actually moving. I'm sure they've always been there and I probably saw them before, but now those little things might be brighter and the black levels are deeper in the back. The one I saw, Saul Guerrera, he has two like green lights in his chest. Mm-hmm. When she first meets him in the cave, that just stand out to me now. It's great. The whole movie, it's changed for me because think of all the sets, on Jeddah, the, black levels accentuating the bright sky, right? Endo, mm-hmm. the rain, Edo, is it Edo? Edo and whatever, yeah, but Edo, the rain and the scene when, what's his name? Cassian is like lining up the sniper shot in the rain and it's a tight shot on his face. So you have nice deep, like his out, like everything, nice deep blacks. But the further away you get, the rain is coming down. So it's more gray. And, but look at the glistening water on the rocks around him. It actually looks like a weird focus effect that they're doing, which is really cool. Like they pull off of him, the shot goes off of him to what he's looking at. And I found myself going, get back on that. I want to see that. I want to see that detail more. Right. It was really cool. What was the other one? Oh, the end, not the end, but the battle on, what's the planet where they have the final Scarif. Battle?
Scarif.
Scarif. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Scarif. It's tropical, right?
Yeah, so the Maldives. That's where they shot it.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it's all like they went to a whole other atmosphere, whole other lighting system. Everything is different. So now, and then that battle there, I thought was really interesting because you're on the planet. You've got the greens, the lush greens, but then they jump into space because that battle's going on. So you have the cold of space, but then you're looking down at the planet. The dynamics of this movie, the picture in this movie have changed the entire movie for me and the experience of watching it. And then, Vader, I always thought they kind of screwed that up and that, well, when you see Star Wars, his suit is like, he's all like, it's crappy. In this, it's all like he comes out early on in the movie. He comes out of the whatever chamber that he's in, but it's pristine. And that's when he tells Mendelsohn, don't choke on your aspirations, which is great.
Clinic. Yes.
Yeah. So you have that whole scene. But then as the movie ends, spoilers, he has the battle there, which is a fantastic scene in itself. The HDR on that and a lot of people, I've said this before, that he cuts one person like on the ceiling with a saber, but he stabs somebody through them into the door. And a lot of people have missed that. That's how he gets the door. He's like, the guy's like, help, help. And all of a sudden you see the saber come through the door, through him. But then you can see more characters in the background. I'm falling in the detail and stuff like that. But all this battle that he's doing, that's why he's so weathered when you get to Star Wars. And of course, if you're a huge Star Wars fan like myself, you can't finish this movie and not push play on Star Wars New Hope and watch that opening scene because it's literally moments later.
Yeah.
But the HDR in this, the movie itself for Star Wars fans, I wish John was here because we'd be going on forever. But like, do you remember the character that, what is he, lose an arm? In Star Wars, in the cantina.
Ponda Barba or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. He runs into Jin and Cassian in the streets in this one. It's like, you're like, oh. And it like watching this movie, it's like days before A New Hope. Right. Yeah. And that's the line all the way through this movie. We need hope. What are we doing this for? Hope, And that's the the lines through the movie, but yeah, the Vader scene at the end, or at 1 hour, I did stamp this one, 1 hour, 13 minutes, 40 seconds, the fog, the set, this is where the Mendelsohn's there and stuff. It's the black levels and the gradations are like what you were talking about, Nosferatu. It's insane. Yeah. And like when he comes out into that fog, I was just like, whoa. And like his body moving it around, like getting it out of the, you know, it just looks so good. And the vibrancy of the color and stuff, just,
yeah,
so good. You don't like this movie, do you? I can tell by your face.
I have issues with it. I don't hate it. I don't really, you know, like dislike it with a passion, but I'm the one person on God's green earth that doesn't love it.
On Scarif?
You're welcome. Yes. I mean, I've been to the Maldives. It's beautiful. There were no stormtroopers. I have issues. Felicity Jones in this just acts with her bottom lip, which I think is kind of, she just sort of juts her lip out a bit differently. And that kind of annoyed me. I think they massively, massively waste, Donnie Yen. I just, someone goes, let's put Donnie Yen in a Star Wars film. Brilliant. Give him a lightsaber. Yeah. Let's see what we'll give him a stick and make him blind. Yeah.
God. He's got one of the best lines of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I'm blind.
The Force is with me. Yeah. Well, that's
no. Yeah. When they put the bag over his head, he goes, are you kidding me? I'm blind. It's so crazy.
I wonder if that was in the script.
I don't know. Yeah. It could have been a voiceover afterwards because they put the bags on his head. You're like, are you kidding me? I'm blind.
I think that's a massive waste of a very, 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 very good actor. And I also think the joins from the very troubled production. If you get bored one day, Deej, and you're off air, ask John Thompson about Rogue One.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. You know, there's clearly an awful lot of backstory to this in terms of how it was shot. And I think the joins are apparent, that you can see where they don't quite match. The whole film is saved by the Vader bit at the end. For me, that's the reason to watch the movie for me. And what is quite fun is there's a police station not far from here that I go to, and they have an airlock system. So you go through one door, you walk along a straight corridor, and then there's another door at the end, and that's into the custody unit where the detainees are. And what's cool though, Deej, is along both sides, there are alarm strips, and they're all red right the way along the side.
Oh.
Now, if you go late at night and not many people are coming in and out, the main lights go out. And so as you go in the airlock and it closes behind you, it's just this red corridor, and it feels like exactly what the Tantive IV must have felt like when, you know, as Vader's walking on that corridor. And every time I go through it, I get that, this must have been what it felt like. It's just so cool. Yeah, it's great. But anyway, so I'm not a massive fan of Rogue One. I haven't seen it anywhere near as many times as the other Star Wars movies. And it's less a Star Wars for me, but I do get why everyone else in the world loves it.
Yeah. Oh, I loved the story when it came out. I loved like the, you know, the poking at the fanboys that are like, they screwed up the story. Lucas screwed up the story. I love how they did all that. I love how they integrated it. You've got, what is it? Red one, gold, red leader, gold leader.
Yes.
That's actual footage from the original that they found footage. We knew that. But the issues that I had with it, it wasn't the film. It wasn't the content. It was the system, right? The delivery system. And it's like the next one out of this that I wanted to do, and I'll probably do it for next week, is Solo. That one, I've always felt like the opening scenes of that, I felt like same idea, were like grayed out, and I didn't enjoy them. And I want to, you know, experience, see if there's an improvement there. If it's like, it's not the artist, it's not the content, it's me, you know. And as you get better, as your system gets better, you'll be able to experience what they intended, you know. Yeah. And that to me is what was so much fun about it. I was blown away by this because I thought it was such a difference. Like Ready Player One was like, yeah, that's right in your face, everything's great, everything's right there. The subtleties of this, the subtleties of the gradations of scene after scene, of going from inside like a ship where it's cold. I mean, there's no atmosphere. It's just deep blacks, high contrast. And then you go outside and then the subtleties you get. And that battle scene on the whatever planet that it was raining when the X-wings come in. Oh my God. And that the fire, the explosions, the blazer blasts. It's just so, so good.
Mm. I've got the 4K disc. It's there. I've seen it a couple of times, I think.
I'm not trying to convince you. You don't have to watch it. Don't worry.
No, you're okay. I just know every other person on the planet loves it. And yeah. I'm just the one who's like, you know, even sure those that kind of, that like with The Last Jedi, you know, that, I mean, I personally really dislike that film. And yet, you know, even people that kind of feel the same way about The Last Jedi as I do love Rogue One, you know, so it's kind of, I don't know what it is, but you know, fair enough.
Yeah.
Horses for courses.
Yeah, exactly. All right. You're going to be able to wrap up with this one?
Yeah, go on. Let's do it. Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
All right. This is the one that I bought. I bought at the same time as Con Air. I considered watching this and I was like, you know what? Steve's already got it. Let me bring something else to the show.
Yeah, so, that makes sense. Makes sense.
Take it away.
Okay. This, ladies and gents, friends and neighbors, boys and girls, is Seven. Well, it's not Seven. It's Seen with a seven in the middle.
Seven, the movie, not George Costanza's son.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
Remember that? You want to name his kid Seven?
Yeah. So it's, but it is Seen, isn't it? It's Seen Seven.
Yeah.
Or C7-een. Anyway, I don't know. Very odd. So now apologies for the picture again. This is a weird thing. You'll see all the reflections on there of Cinema George. You can see the Kill
Steve,
Bill poster.
Steve, I was going to compliment there. You.
Really?
I think that's fantastic.
Oh,
yeah, the composition, the way that Seven is like presented in the middle and the blue on the edge, which I know is your theater.
Yeah.
I thought, I mean, it looks fantastic.
Oh, okay. Well, it was all intended, obviously.
Yeah. And the ceiling lights reflecting into it. It's just, I mean, it gives a real theater feel.
Okay.
But
yeah.
I was like, this is really well done. I mean, yeah, I love it. Like you can see the movie poster if you look closely. You can see the movie poster reflected
in there.
If you
look below the second E, you can see my face.
Yes, you can, which is creepy, like the movie. It's like, people on Friday are going, all right, I got to go to YouTube. It's like, no, I think it looks, you do look creepy there.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I think even below the audio and subtitles, is that your knees? Are you wearing shorts?
Yeah, always.
Yeah, you're wearing white shorts.
Yeah, as a Kiwi, always.
I can see up your pant legs.
Well, I'm sorry to say.
That's bringing the crowd.
Yeah, that's one of the seven deadly sins. That's number eight.
That's the eighth deadly sin. There we go.
So,
underneath special features. Off to the left.
Yeah. Let's not talk about the length of the movie. So I was not happy with that picture. And the reason I was not happy with it is because no matter how much I tried, it's just white on black and it just kind of looks gloomy and weird. And so I had to mess around with it. So that's what I came up with. Anyway.
It looks great.
Oh, yeah. Great. Well, I'm glad you're impressed.
Great piece of art right there.
There you go. Yes. I'm impressed for you.
There you go.
So it's 4K disc, DTS HD Master Audio 5.1.
Yep.
Despite the fact the Blu-ray's got a 7.1 mix, but anyway, but 4K HDR and DTS HD 5.1 very much upmixed to Neuralex. So the movie, I mean, the movie's the movie. No one, I mean, we talk about Rogue One and me having an issue with Rogue One, but I don't think anybody that has seen this film, be it back in theaters or since, has got anything bad to say about this movie. I mean, it is a stone cold. It was, because I saw this in theaters, an instant classic. And what I remember, this was one of those experiences where I remember seeing this in a packed theater back in the, you know, 95, whatever it was. And when the person on the bed who we think is dead, who is not dead, jumped to life. There were people in that theater that lost their minds.
Yeah.
Now horror fans knew something was coming because the audio drops out.
Correct. Yeah.
But anyone else, there were people in there screaming as if someone had just kind of attacked them. And so I never forgot that. So, but I've seen this film countless times. I've owned it on VHS. I've owned it on DVD, Blu-ray, and now in 4K. And the movie is as good as it's always been. It hasn't aged a day. It is timeless, actually, in terms of how they've done the story and how it has been presented as a story. It has not changed a bit. It is not you know, no issues with that at all. I loved it and had a great time revisiting this. I tried to see it last night, but I got called away, as you know. And so I managed to then finish it today and watch the rest of it today. So, now in terms of the video, this has been given a full, as I understand it, 8K remaster. Oh. Yeah. So it was, they've scanned it at 8K, obviously reduced it down to 4K, done with David Fincher's approval. He spent a lot of time on this and they've gone frame by frame by frame by frame. There have been, I am told, some CG alterations to very minor shots. There was apparently a bulb out in Brad Pitt and Gwyneth Paltrow. So, in their apartment, there's apparently a bulb out. And so they've fixed the bulb. And okay. There was one where there's a door open that should have been shut. So they put the door in. It's very minor CG alterations, yeah. But they have been made.
Well, as we, like, if you heard talking with Eddie Mensor, John's brother, and talking about that's the, like, the special, like, he's dealing with. He's like, oh yeah, you got to go in and fix this stuff. You got to fix all the stuff they can do afterwards. And then on a film like this, I don't know why Spielberg didn't fix the eye in Jaws. I don't know if they could have done that, but they didn't. Eddie's fixing stuff like that, but Spielberg's not.
Okay. And yet Spielberg changed E.T. and removed the walk guns and made them walkie talkies. So he's done it before. Done it before. You can do it again. But anyway, so there we go. So, but Finch has been tinkering with this since its release. Cause I don't know if you remember when the Blu-ray came out, which was in a very cool John Doe folder, you know, really good, really special edition. There was a lengthy featurette on there about the color timing changes that he made to the Blu-ray. So this is his third or fourth go at changing this. So, you know, he likes to tinker with it. I don't think he's done that with any of his other movies. There's some suggestion Panic Room that's coming out may have been messed with, but this one seems to be one he's constantly tinkering with. So having said that, so how does it look? It looks absolutely beautiful.
Well, I don't know if I use that word. It's kind of dry.
Oh, well, yeah, no, well D, you say that and you know, and I know you're joking, but when you see this version of it, it is beautiful. We'll start with the colors and the black levels. The image is much more solid now than it's been before. There is grain there, but it's really fine. You've got to look for it, but the image is rock solid. So, and the black levels on a movie as all important as this are just stunningly good. There's no gray in this. You can forget gray. Gray is a color that doesn't exist in Seven. It is just beautiful shades of black. It's really, really good. Then you get the detail levels. The detail levels in this are off the charts. I mean,
just, that's creepy.
Well, obviously you've got the main killings and all the blood and the guts. But take your time as you, cause bear in mind, we've seen the movie many times. So you know what's being presented. Let your eye wander over door frames. Let your eye wander over the wallpaper, the bedspreads in the apartment. Look at the fine detail on Brad Pitt's shirt. I just thought it was a white shirt. It's not.
Right.
There's actually detail in there that you can now see. Look at every pore and crag and mark on Morgan Freeman's face. You know, and this is all before you get to the goo and the ick and everything else.
Yeah.
It looks stunningly good. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, quite. Yeah. Somebody called Guinness.
Yeah. Exactly.
We have ourselves a record. It looks genuinely beautiful. If someone had said to you, this was shot last week, you'd be like, well, yeah, obviously, you know, this, that, and I mean that in every way. That's not a facetious remark. That it looks like a brand new movie. It's beautiful. And that's the word that kept echoing in my mind as I was watching this film. It's never looked as good as this, ever. It's fantastic. Now, the audio. So it is upmixed to Neuralex. There was no way I was going from a 7.1 mix on the Blu-ray, which I always really liked, to a 5.1 mix and just watching it in pure audio. No, this was upmixed to Neuralex. Now, the audio is interesting because it is, to a large extent, quite front-focused, which clearly is what Fincher wanted. The rear speakers are used mainly for atmospherics. So yeah. So the rain, obviously the traffic noise, there's the scene where with Morgan Freeman and Gwyneth Paltrow talking about the pregnancy and everything else in the diner. That's actually a really interesting scene. You can hear all kinds of stuff going on that mm-hmm. I've never heard before. And as I say, I know the movie well. But it does seem to be effects really in the rear speakers rather than dialogue, rather than lots of kind of, pertinent audio. It's just effects stuff. So it's echoes. It's kind of, it's rain. It's that sort of thing. The gunshots are not perhaps as strong as I'd like them to have been, you know, because they don't have a lot of presence. The bass is not, it's definitely not Lucy. It's nowhere near that. The gunshots. Yeah. They're loud, but they're not powerful, which is I'm nitpicking here, but they're not quite as powerful as I would have liked. But the dialogue's fine, no issues with that. It sounds very, very good indeed. Is it quite as good as the 7.1 mix? I don't know. I quite like that 7.1 mix, but I think, really? But I do think it's been tinkered with. I think this audio is what Fincher wanted. I think the 7.1 mix was done by the studio, whereas this one was done by him. And so I think that this is closer to his intentions. So I'm not saying the audio is a bust. It's not.
Yeah.
It's just not perhaps what I would have liked or what I liked an Atmos track, to be honest. But you know, that's fine. There it is. So
I wonder if like your description of Front Heavy is like, feels like something Fincher would do to lean you to the screen. To lean you to the detail yes. that you were just talking about, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whereas this isn't meant to be something that's like, sit back, enjoy the atmospherics, enjoy this. It's supposed to be like, are they serious? Like, cause the entire movie, I remember the first time I saw it, you're leaning in, like wondering, where is this going? Cause it's a mystery. Mm. How is this playing out? Where is it? And it's meant to get the audience to be so engaged that they're like leaning forward and trying to take in as much as you can. And just your description of the video quality, but then saying like the audio's up there too. It's like, it feels like something that's like something purposeful by Fincher.
And it could be, but having said that, it seems as though sound is a character in this film because there is repeated dialogue about, you know, the horror of the world, that the city is a cesspool. It's a creature. It's an animal. And a number of times in the movie, the audio is being used to as a character to show you how bad this world is. The noise in the diner, the constant rain, the traffic, the little critters that moving in these apartments. And so I think the audio is meant to be maybe a bit more than that. But you certainly that makes sense in terms of trying to get you to focus.
Yeah.
But that might explain why it is more just atmospherics in the speakers. It does kind of lean more towards a 5.1 mix than your typical Neuralex up mix. But I'm just, again, a little bit, if I had to pick a nitpick, it would be the audio, but it's not a bust. If this is the version to buy, it's the version to see. This is Fincher's version, and this is the one you need to see. No matter what I might say about any other audio mixes, this is definitely the one to see because it's so good that any nitpicks are just that and should not be in any way put you off the film. It's awesome. And again, so as you mentioned, you take over Tuesday about, you know, wanting releases. This was one I've been wanting for a long time. I love this film. And so the anticipation for this was very high and it's met those expectations in all but the most minor of ways. It's great. We're very lucky to have this. And my response to the debate that you had in Takeover Tuesday, Deej, about, you know, what's more exciting, catalog titles or new ones? I'm going to step away from the argument, sit on the fence and say, I don't have to choose. I love them both.
Oh yeah. Well, there you go. That's a great conversation. Like they're all good. All right. No,
done.
Okay. We got another 55 minutes to kill.
Kumbaya, my lord.
Exactly. It's like, oh boy. So no, I agree. I mean, that's the best part is like we get it all. Right. Yeah. And what we were talking about earlier, like, is it going away? Are theaters going away? Is this just the drive that we have and these are artists doing all this for us and it's and we're begging for more. How can anybody think like this is going away?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's one of those things maybe people like us know that if it went away, we'd miss it. But I think if it did go away, it wouldn't be for long, because I think a lot of people would be like, really like to go to the movies, or I'd really like to get that. You know, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And so maybe most people wouldn't even know, you know, how much they're going to miss it, but we do. And I mean, it's these, and the catalog titles are what prove it. Right. And it's like, obviously recency bias, you know, the latest and greatest movie that comes out, we got to get it. But it's those catalog titles that I think are driving the market, that shows people like, oh yeah, there's a market for all of this.
Well, it's incumbent on us that do have this, again, stuff I was thinking about as I was driving around listening to you waxy lyrical earlier.
You have places to go, right? You just didn't get in the car to drive and listen to me.
On my way to the police station and then on my way back. Okay.
There you go.
So that you are my, you were right there with me all the way. Is that, you know, it's incumbent on us that see value in these, be they new releases or older movies. It's incumbent on us, if we see value in them, as best we can, to buy them. Because only by buying them will they then release more.
Oh, absolutely. Because if we stop,
that's the end of that. And you know, and if we're not buying them, no one's buying them. So you know, we've got to pick them both up. But I, like I said, my enthusiasm for catalog and new releases is the same, depending on what they are.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to like it. But I mean, but at, this was a while ago, maybe a year or two ago, Shane had that rant on his channel.
Did he?
And he was like saying like, don't wait for the sales. Don't wait to buy it. If you support this, if you want physical media, you have to buy them when they come out. Otherwise, if you're just waiting for the sale or the bargain bin on everything. Now, I get it. Everybody's budget is different. There's reasons for it. But if you're not supporting the medium, don't be upset when it goes away.
Yeah.
Right. And it was a great rant, you know, and I'm sure people would be like, but I can't afford it. I get it. I get it. But at the same time, when you can, you've got to support it, right? Yeah. It's if you care about it. So
yeah,
we're doing the best we can.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, again, I was thinking, Leon, if I buy five movies, I mean, I buy these things like Skittles, and if I buy five, you know, five movies that come out on a Monday here, you know, and it varies. Sometimes it'll be straight to the catalog release and leave the new releases, and other times it's straight to new releases and leave the catalog stuff, and sometimes I don't get to either. And they just go into the collection and don't watch them at all. Yeah. Not through deliberate means, just because of life. Yeah. But you know, if you can get them, you should. And, you know, because again, if the studio sense that even we are not picking this stuff up, it's goodbye. And that'll be that. And then, you know, it's too late to turn around, because trying to then bring this stuff back will be very difficult.
Well, isn't that what happened in like Australia and New Zealand or whatever with Disney? Seems not enough people were buying it, and they pulled right out. They're like, why ship it? I mean, they'll get it. You'll be able to get it if you really want it over there. You just have to import it.
And pay an absolute fortune to get it. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But why is, if the market isn't there, why is Disney spending the money to ship it there on their own?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's all business. Right. Yeah. And if there's no demand, they cut it off. It's like, this isn't a charity thing where like, everybody loves this. Let's just give it to them. No, they're trying to make money, people. It's like,
But there we go. But, so that's all right. Put to rights, Deej. World put to rights.
All right. There we go. Solving the world's problems.
One film at a time.
There we go. That's right. All right. We're going to wrap it up here. You good? Everything cool?
Yeah, I've got one that I'll save for next week. That's fine. Yeah. And there's plenty more besides. But yeah, no, my laptop is just gone into energy saving mode.
There you go. All right. We will get out of here. We'll be back next week. I got a Takeover Tuesday lined up for next week. Great interview. We'll be, you know, you'll see. All right. Cat's out of the bag. Nelson, my buddy. We'll have that chat. He'll be back for next week's Takeover Tuesday. Then we'll be back. Stay tuned, actually, whether we're back on Monday or Tuesday. Pay attention on YouTube or on Twitter. We'll let you know. But, you know, until then, you know what you got to do.
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production, with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.